Dear friends, before his ascension, at his instruction, the faithful 11 apostles met Jesus, their master, at an appointed mountain spot in Galilee. We read about that at the end of Matthew's Gospel in the 28th chapter. This was his farewell meeting with them. It's interesting that Jesus had not appointed a 12th apostle to replace that treacherous Judas Iscariot. Obviously, at that stage, it was not what Jesus wanted to do. Neither is there any evidence in the New Testament that the church's appointment of Matthias in place of Judas was approved by the Lord himself. In fact, after his appointment very early on by the church in Jerusalem, we hear nothing more about Matthias. The last part of Matthew's Gospel informs us of Jesus' last physical appearance with the 11 apostles. We are told, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Before we rush to pass judgment on the doubters, let us keep in mind that Jesus, after his resurrection, did not exercise his miraculous powers of healing nor manifest any other type of physical power. Also, Jesus' teaching ministry for 40 days after his resurrection and before his ascension was dedicated only to the 11 and a small remnant of faithful believers. Jesus no longer appeared or ministered to large crowds as he had done before. So, it was to be expected that some of the remaining 11 still wondered if the one they met and worshipped is truly the same Jesus who died and rose from the dead and met with them and taught them for 40 days. They still could not understand that Jesus was no longer going to manifest himself and his power to others. After all, as the risen Christ, he did not appear except to the 11 and a limited number of other believers, the largest of which was a mere 500. It was at this point, all worshipping 11 apostles, including the ones who entertained doubt about his identity, needed to hear and understand something about Jesus' real power. The Gospel says that Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Dear friends, Jesus' statement that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him must be understood in its immediate context. Of course, in his divine nature as the Blessed Son, the second person in the Holy Trinity, he enjoyed infinite sovereign power. The scriptures speak of what he was like before he became human in the womb of the Virgin Mary, as the new or second Adam. John's Gospel begins by speaking of Jesus' pre-existence prior to his taking on himself our human nature as the divine Logos, who created life and all things, including human life itself. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Dear friends, we need to understand what Jesus' apostle needed to know at this farewell event prior to his ascension. He had just completed his divine mission in his human nature. He departs to assume his majestic throne in heaven, different than the way he was before he came to earth. He had enjoyed only a divine nature as a second person of the Holy Trinity. Now, he returns with a triumphant human nature. In other words, he returns as the one who succeeded in his saving mission. So, as the risen Son of Man, he is entitled to full authority over all things visible and invisible, also in his exalted human nature. His apostles needed to know this, especially that soon they no longer would visibly experience his powerful physical presence. Before he departed, he spoke to them as the King who controls, rules, and reigns over all events, not only in the invisible realm in heaven, but also in the visible sphere on earth. At the beginning of his public earthly ministry, his arch enemy, the devil, tried to entice him to deviate from what he came to do as the new Adam. Satan wanted to tempt him to be degraded, to exercise rebellious, corrupt, destructive, evil authority. He wanted him to fail the same way the first Adam failed. Yet Jesus, as the eternal Son of God, had a saving mission which required him to take on a full human nature. As the promised Messiah, Savior, the new Adam, he proved himself qualified to enjoy full authority also over the devil himself, and he completely succeeded. He did not succumb to any sinful temptation and was not distracted by the appeal of perishing world power. As the promised seed of the woman conceived in the womb of the Virgin, he enjoyed a perfectly sinless new human soul. He became a new Adam and remained undefiled by sin. He accepted to take on himself our death, which is the punishment which sinners deserve. The devil not only failed to distract Jesus from this, but he was also totally defeated by Jesus' triumph over death itself. In Jesus' triumphant human nature, he was entitled to receive the same full authority over all things, visible and invisible, that his divine nature already enjoyed. Yet he still has more to do. The price he paid was in order to save sinners in all nations. Now the application of his redeeming work to them requires the spread of his saving gospel by his church. The mission began with his appointed apostles. His gospel message is at work by divine power through the Holy Spirit, who applies the divine message to the lives of men, women, and children in all nations. He convicts them of their need for Christ's salvation and provides them with the ability to receive it and commit to the one and only Savior of mankind. Hallelujah.